Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. CJ is in the studio with me.
What up?
What up? And also via the web, we have Pete from Scuba Board, Jerry the Diver Guy. We have Vinny Two Tanks, who just got back from the Philippines and has booked his airline ticket to the Maldives to join us on the next Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise. We're going to talk about that in just a bit. If that weren't enough, Richie Kohler, one of the original shadow divers, is going to join us momentarily. He's in New York City planning to attend a big Explorers Club event tonight, and he'll fill us in on what that is all about, including the latest on his new book that has just been released. So that's coming up here in a few minutes. But let's talk a little bit more about some incidents have been happening in the diving world. And I know this was online. This was on scubaboard.com and Pete's crew has been talking about this online. What was going on with this diver in the cenotes that I read about? I saw the original post, I believe, on Facebook. And this was a cave dive or a guided cave dive, Pete? Is that what was it?
And now the body count is up to three. It was a cavern dive.
Okay.
And the cavern, none of the people on the dive except for the guide were trained. The guide was not an instructor, but they were full cave trained. Mm. And they didn't run a line, apparently. And one guy got off and got lost and paid for it with his life.
Okay, so this was a guided cavern dive that you would go down to the Yucatan. Maybe on a vacation. You could even probably book a dive like this off of a cruise ship or something, I'm guessing. Am I right?
Possibly. It might have been where these people came from. I don't know where they came from.
Yeah. So, this cave system down in the Yucatan, very popular. You could do extreme stuff if you want, but they do have some, pretty broad, open cavern, cool looking things. I've seen the video. I've never done those type of dives. But you kind of you're putting yourself in handing, I don't know,
a trust me dive.
Exactly. You're counting
them
on them
to get your butt out.
Yeah, and generally they're pretty good about that kind of stuff. But when you get into a cave or even a cavern situation, and in this case, basically the leader, they had a follow the leader type of dive, and then they had somebody who was pulling up the rear, I guess, a dive master maybe helping him, but he lost the group.
No, they didn't have a dive master pulling up the rear. That was part of the problem. They had one person leading up front, and they had three followers, and when the caboose got lost, nobody noticed the caboose was gone.
Ah, okay. So it's one of those things where if you're going to do that type of dive, you kind of need to do your due diligence before and make sure you're going with a reputable dive company. When you get into a place like Mexico, I've heard good things about the dive operations down there. It's kind of surprising, but it's like anything, there's a chance you could, if you just go with some schmo that hasn't been keeping up on his skills, or maybe they negotiated a good deal at the dock or something, I don't know. I mean, who knows,
Greg,
what happened.
Can I offer
what would you do
to the people?
Yeah.
The first tenet, there's five tenets of cave diving. The first one says dive within your training. I get the idea you want to go down and see the fun stuff that the cave divers are seeing, but please get certified. Go through the class. Take the time and effort to get certified so you don't kill yourself.
Yeah.
Then go see it. Don't take the shortcut. Don't pay someone else to watch after your butt. go get certified. Go find an instructor and get certified so we don't have to read about you on Scuba Board in the accidents and incidents form. Please.
Yeah. You really shouldn't be relying on your dive guide to save your butt. And, you know, I've seen that time and time again. I'm not a big cave diver myself. I'm not cave certified. I've done cavern dives. I've done some, you know, intro to caving type dives. But I'm not really a big fan. It's just not my thing. I don't, you know, discount anybody for wanting to do it. However, you see this on any type of diving, whether you're just going to a place where they got strong currents, like in the Galapagos, and you see some of your fellow divers on the boat, and you notice that their skills are not quite up to snuff, and they're in way over their head as far as the skill level of what this dive demands, and they're kind of, you know, putting their safety in the hands of the dive guide. And yeah. You know, specifically in the Galapagos, where you would have like strong currents and a washing machine type dive, you know, they even tell us before we get in the water there that, look, hey, we're the dive leader, but we're not your babysitter, and we are not going to come get you if you get separated from the group, because there's no way we will be able to. You are on your own. You are expected to have this level of skill set, and you should be prepared to, you know, use those skills to keep yourself safe.
And Clint Eastwood said it best.
Clint Eastwood, really?
A diver's got to know his own limitations.
Did Clint Eastwood? I didn't know he was a diver.
Something like that, anyway.
I thought he's paraphrasing.
Is that what it is?
It's okay. A paraphrase.
Ah. Okay.
But a diver's got to know his own limitations. That's
yes.
Just all there
well,
is.
Well, true. You know, dive within your limits, and you'll be fine.
I believe Queen also said, keep yourself alive.
True. They did. They wrote a whole song about it, actually.
Yeah.
The first big breakout. So,
Greg, have you ever been on a boat?
Like, has who been on a boat, Jerry?
Have you been on a boat and actually had to save somebody?
Are you asking me or
you, Pete, any of you?
Yes, I did. I'll tell you my story.
I've had to do it several times.
Yeah. And it's kind of annoying. I mean, actually, when it happened to me, I was on a lobster dive, and we weren't even a third into the dive, and the, not my buddy, but a guy diving with one of the, I was kind of diving with this other guy. We were kind of a buddy team, and he had a friend with him that was taking pictures, and that guy was just kind of, I guess you could say he was a third wheel and kind of diving with him, not so much with me. I didn't really know what he was doing, actually, and maybe I should have.
Paparazzi.
Yeah, and but anyway, he had this big camera system with him, with us, and me and my other guy were catching lobsters, and sure enough, I'd caught my first bug. My buddy, who was his buddy, had caught a bug and had just swam off while I was stuffing mine into my bag, and the viz was slightly off, so he just swam off. I'm finishing off my bug, and I turn around, and I see this guy with his camera system. He looks at me, and he gives me the out-of-air signal, and I'm like, what? I was like, we're like at 75 feet. And I'm like, well, daggone it. And I say, you know, we're not even 10 minutes into the dive. And I'm like, all right, here. And I give him my octopus, and he starts breathing off of it. And I grab his air gauge, and I'm like, holy crap. He's like, he has no air at all. And I'm like, all right, dude, let's go. Let's buddy breathe on the way back up to the surface. I got to take you back to the boat, and I'm going to be really upset because you've just cost me at least four or five lobsters that I could have bagged right now. And so I'm going all the way to the surface and quite annoyed. And we get back on the boat, and, you know, I'm just like, daggone it, that really blows. And I'm taking my gear off, and he comes over, and he goes, man, thank you so much. If it weren't for you, I would have died. I was like, oh, my God, he's probably right. And then I turned around, and I puked over the side of the boat because it kind of hit me all at once. You know what I'm saying? So I was glad that I had the skill set to save him, and I didn't panic. It was more annoying than anything else at the time. But then afterwards, it didn't. You know, I was like, well, yeah, you're right. You owe me big time, buddy. And so now I own his house.
I think that's the same thing that Batman does whenever he saves somebody, he pukes.
Is that how it is? Yeah. It is kind of a superpower. And, you know, and with superpowers comes responsibility to upchuck after you complete a skill.
I've actually seen that happen a couple times, Greg.
Really?
After people have helped someone out, they've exerted themselves so much, they're worried about the person, and then when all the pressure's off, they puke, they collapse. I've seen it on dry land. I've seen it in the water.
Yeah.
It's a pretty normal response.
Well, there you go. That'd be one of the first times someone has referred to me as normal, but I'll take it.
Mark this down.
Yep. This day in history.
And your first name is Abby, last name Normal.
Okay, yeah. So, I don't know, this has happened to you, though, too, Jerry. Is that what you're saying? You've had to save divers before?
Yeah, I mean, I've actually had to go in and get them in the current and fight with these guys, getting them back.
And fighting with who? What guys?
With the guys. I mean, I've done two guys in current trying to get them back. And they're big guys.
This sounds like a Bond film scene or something. We'll have to get to the bottom of it next. Stay close. Just getting started right here in the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Divers in the Know dive with Dan. Divers Alert Network. DAN is the industry's largest association dedicated to scuba diving safety and has served divers for over 30 years. DAN provides emergency assistance, medical information, educational opportunities, trip insurance, and more. Whether you're just learning scuba or a veteran, a DAN membership just makes good sense. Sign up and take advantage of the many benefits DAN offers by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Under this garb, we're perfectly ordinary Americans.
They had me all set up with the scuba guy. Made sure that I bought a waterproof watch. That's important. Gee, I'm completely out of oxygen, and look at the time. Now I'm dead and I'm late.
And I'm going down.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, CJ in the studio, also Jerry the Diver Guy via the web, along with Pete from Scuba Board, and Vinny Two Tanks out there on the left coast, who just booked his airline ticket to the Maldives to join us for the Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise. And we're going to, me, him, Butch. I think we're going to have like six or seven of us from the liveaboard trip on the same itinerary flying through Tokyo, Japan. and have a little layover there as well as Singapore. Are you pretty excited about there, Vinny, or what? What do you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can't wait.
Yeah, that'll be great. By the way, there are some, there's still a few spots available on that trip for August 13th in the Maldives with Explore Ventures. If you want to join us, 1-800-322-3577. Call them up and tell them you want to join us on the Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise, and then you can book the same airfare. It's pretty remarkable, too. Vinny, did you get that price that I emailed you about? It was like $1,250 or something for round trip from L.A., all the way to the Maldives through Singapore and Japan. That is a great price on Singapore Airlines. And is that the price you got? Is that what you booked or what? Thereabouts? Yeah? Vinny, what happened? Did we lose Vinny there, Jerry?
Yes, Craig.
No,
oh,
there I'm here.
Okay. He's there. Yeah. He dozed
off. I'm pretty sure
some.
I... Yeah. No, I'm pretty sure I spent more than that. That's yep. a pretty good. If you that's all you spent, you got a great deal.
Well, I bumped mine up to business, so I paid a little bit more than that. But they're running some crazy special. So even at $1,500 or so, that's a pretty great price. So
Vinny Griggs special.
Yeah, and Singapore Air is supposedly rated one of the best airlines in the world. They have their stewardesses, or is that the proper or politically correct way to refer to them? They call them
flight attendants.
I don't know if they what, they, but they call them Singapore girls.
I like that.
Yeah, or as we would call them, potential scuba radio mermaids. It sounds like to me. I don't
hubba
know.
Hubba.
Hey. So anyway. We have that to look forward to. And, yeah, we're going to dive in the Maldives for a week. And I don't know if we're going to do any diving in Tokyo. We're going to have like 3 days or 4 days in Tokyo. And they got water there, so I assume there's diving there.
If there was a current, would you be diving in a Tokyo drift?
Maybe. It would be a Tokyo drift dive. Yeah, tough
crowd. You should try to check out that underwater city that you see a lot on in Japan.
Did you say check out?
Check yeah. out.
Well, what do you mean underwater city in Japan?
It's some ancient city that's underwater.
What is Atlantis?
I've heard of that. I've seen pictures
yeah.
of it.
Oh, I know what he's talking about. Yeah,
you do. I have no idea. What is this? Some kind of anime cartoon thing?
It's a big thing.
It's a big thing. An underwater city in Japan.
Also, you can get a sex robot.
Really? And how would you know this, CJ?
I think they have those in Japan.
Yeah, right. Go to Tokyo Disneyland.
We could do that. Actually, you know, wait, are you talking about the water park that Disney has in Tokyo? Is that what you're talking about? Because they
no.
do. Because they do have some kind of like Sea World of Disney or something, or Disney Sea in Tokyo. I did see that online.
It's ancient ruins.
It's ancient ruins.
It's a real dive.
A real Atlantis in Japan, huh? Well, I don't know. There's all kinds of things to do in Japan. I've never been there.
It would be the Pacific. Link to it.
CJ says what?
It would be the Pacific.
What do you mean?
Not the Atlantis.
You were. And really? Okay. All right. Yeah.
I will send you a text to it here just a second.
Okay, send me a text.
I think I know what he's talking about. I've seen it, too.
Yeah? I think you guys are making things up, but...
Nope. Never.
Never. All right. Well, we can Google it or something. But yeah, that's just going to be one of the coolest things to do on this trip. You know, when you're flying halfway around the world, you might as well stop off and see some things on the way.
Are you going to get a silk robe?
Yes. Actually, I went to Epcot this week as a little like research for our trip. And I went to the Japan Pavilion. And I told my kids, I was like, okay. Look through the gift shop. Tell me what you would like me to bring back from Japan.
Daddy's going to go get some sake.
Yeah. And tell me what else. You want some chopsticks? You want some? You want a silk robe? Pick it out here, because what will probably happen is I won't get anything while I'm in Japan. And I'll just come back to Epcot, pick something up right before on the way home from the airport.
Am I remembering this right? I've been a long time since I've been to Epcot, but the steps, very, very steep coming out of the Japanese Pavilion.
It's on its way, Greg.
Especially after you've had some sake.
Yeah, well,
you
I
know,
didn't
you
drink
can always
any sake.
Stop in Taiwan and pick up those gifts. Be a lot cheaper.
Well, it could, but that would then I'd have to carry them with me on the plane.
Just stop over L.A. in Chinatown and pick it up.
Well, I could do that too, or better yet, you know what? That's what the internet is for, right? I could get that on eBay, have it shipped right
Amazon,
to the door.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now I just sent you that text.
You just sent me the text to the Atlantis of Japan. Is that it?
And you've crashed your
entire
system.
Whatever it is, some 10,000-year-old city.
And it's underwater and you scuba dive on it. Is that what you're telling me? Okay. Well, if someone knows about this and has done it firsthand, let us know. You can email us, greg@scubaradio.com, or better yet, just file a dive report there at scubaradio.com where it says get on the air, that tab on the homepage, and you can sit there and record like a 90-second dive report for us, and we'll play it back on the air and get know if we should do this or not. You know, I wasn't honestly planning to do any diving when we were in Japan because I've never been. I figured I'd just go there and play tourist for a couple days. But, Vinny, what do you think? You up for diving if we find an option there? Probably so, I guess, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Who'd want to dive in Japan?
Well, I guess. I can't think of anybody who wouldn't want to do that if they're certified.
There's
Why
a 10,000-year-old city with your name wrote all over it.
There's a $10,000 what?
10,000-year-old city with your name wrote all over it.
Okay. Well, that would just be, that's
graffiti. You vandal.
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't sound very
good. Tag it. Put a scuba radio sticker on it.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, let's go halfway around the world and create an international incident. Wouldn't be the first time. So, okay. You got me on that one. All right, but you just got back from the Philippines. Do you want to tell us about that a little bit today, Vinny, or what? What do you think? You did some diving.
Sure, why not?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, and you went there for how long, by the way, first off?
I was there for like 3 weeks.
3 weeks in the Philippines. And diving the whole time or a little bit of everything? What was it?
The first 2 days I was in Manila, and then I got bored with that, so I immediately left the island of Luzon and took a ferry across to the island of Mindoro where Puerto Galerias was a big dive resort.
All right, cool. Well, hold on. Let's talk about this next, and we'll learn together about the Philippines.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. We're going to try to connect with Richie Kohler. He's at the Explorer Club's a big event tonight, doing a presentation on his new book, I believe. So we're going to talk about that hopefully here momentarily on the big show. I did look at Jerry the Diver Guy's text, 10,000-year-old ruins in Japan. Yeah, that does kind of look like, I don't know, it looks somewhat interesting from these pictures, I guess, Jerry. But I want to get a diver's firsthand report. So if someone listening is familiar with the diving in Japan, let us know. And let us know whether or not we should plan to do that dive or let alone any other dives while we're doing a layover in Tokyo on our way back from the Maldives and our scuba radio scuba cruise. All right, so Vinny Two Tanks just got back from the Philippines. And he did 3 weeks. How many islands? Are we talking to Vinny? How many did you visit? What do you think? You figure.
I visited two or three of them.
Two or three islands in the Philippines. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And you dove all three of them, I guess, or what?
Yes, up the reefs off all three of them, uh-huh.
All right, so the first one was Manila. Is that where you flew into Manila, right?
Well, that's the capital. That's the capital on the main island of Luzon.
Okay, of Luzon. And so you dove off the island of Luzon.
No, I actually spent two nights in the city, and then the next day I jumped on a bus and I went to the end of the island, to the port, Batangas Port, and took a ferry across to the famous diving island of Puerto Galera.
Okay, so you played tourist in the city for a couple days and kind of familiarized yourself with the culture, I guess, right? And then you hopped on a bus and went to do some diving.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, cool. And the first place you went to, you liked the diving there or what? How would you describe it?
Well, I went to the best resort on the island that offered three meals a day, a room, and all the diving included.
All right. Well, so he's a bargain hunter as a diver. He's a bargain man. And, and you want to do that when you're in the Philippines. I think you can get a lot of value, a lot of bang for your diving buck. And we'll find out just how much next, right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
So Vinny Two Tanks was in the Philippines. So after a couple days of playing in the city, and by the way, would you recommend that if you're going to the Philippines, stay in Manila or in the city for a couple days and kind of take in the culture or what? Vinny, should you do that before you head to some dive resort or what do you think?
Well, I've been in a lot of capitals and I've in the Asia, so I just only spent a couple of nights there just to get a feel for the city, and then I just said, well, let's go diving. So okay. I took off for diving.
All right. So it's like a typical, you know, crowded city type of thing in that part of the world.
Yeah, it's just a big capital city.
Okay.
You know.
Fair enough. All right. So you went to this first dive site, and once again, the area was called what? What was the island you took the...
The island is Maduro, and the area is called Subang Beach, Puerto Galera.
Okay. So what I have heard about the Philippines is that when you go there, what they're really... where they really shine as far as their diving is concerned is with muck diving and macro type stuff. Am I right, or is that a mischaracterization of what you would experience in the Philippines? What do you think?
No, that resort, that was exclusively what the diving was. Muck diving and you know, you're close to reefs and it's mostly small creatures.
Okay, so muck diving is basically like a grayish ash gooey mess. And all these strange critters live in this thing, and they'll pop their heads up or swim above this gooey mess type of thing, or muck, I guess. And so it doesn't look real appealing when you're just looking at that, but some of the critters are just crazy. I mean, I've seen pictures and video of some of the things that are flying or living in this habitat. They're just totally alien or unlike anything you would see anywhere else in the world. Is that what you experienced or what, Vinny? What do you think?
I didn't see it to that detail, but no.
So what did you see? What kind of critters were there?
I have a question.
Okay, talk there, Pete. What do you think?
Did you see any of the sea dragons?
Oh, yeah. Those are nice.
I'm headed there in June, and I want to know if I can be able to see a leafy or a twiggy or whatever they're called, sea dragon. I don't really want to see one.
Sea dragon. What do you think there, Vinny? Does that ring a bell?
You mean seahorse or?
No, a sea dragon. Sea dragon kind of looks
related.
Like that. Well, okay. Yeah, but they look like a leafy type, you know, piece of seaweed or something.
It looks like they took a seahorse, screw them up a bit, and then stretched them out.
Yeah, but where it had like a seahorse with leaves on it. A leafy seahorse, maybe. In a way. Did they have those where
Unless
you were?
It's a twiggy one.
Well, okay. True.
I saw a regular seahorse out of 3 weeks of diving. Finally, a dive master found one, and I was able to see it.
Mm, okay.
They're very hard to find. I don't know anyone who's ever found one before.
They saw you first?
What, a leafy sea dragon or seahorse?
Just a regular seahorse.
Well, yeah. Seahorses are hard to spot. Usually, you usually need the local dive master to point them out to you, usually. I mean, that's what happens with me.
That's how I saw it. Yeah.
So
what resort did you stay at?
I stayed at the Atlantis Puerto Galera.
That's where I'm headed.
Okay, that's where you're going. So there you go.
Yeah, that's supposed to be the top resort.
Yeah.
It is.
And you liked it, I assume. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. It was first class. Okay. It, you know, all meal. You know, you have gourmet meals. You got a comfortable room.
Mm-hmm.
I had the all-inclusive plan with five dives a day, and it was all included. Everybody knew my name. It's pretty well run resort.
Well, Vinny Two Tanks.
I enjoyed it.
You better remember Vinny Two Tanks' name, or you
I
know,
thought his name was you.
He might send you swimming with the fishes. Get it? Yeah. Okay.
That was funny.
The leafy sea dragon. It just so happens there was a report this week in Florida that they have spotted some similar type of critter related to the jellyfish that kind of look like a little miniature leafy sea dragon, but they're poisonous like jellyfish, like feed on the stingers of the Portuguese man of war. Do you see that, Pete?
I saw that. Yeah, that, looks cool. They captured like a dozen of them.
Yeah, I mean, they look cool, but evidently they can put a hearten on you if you rub up against them. So, you know, I don't know what to think about that, but they're, you know, might be a
couple
new
months ago, they were getting those, was it a yellow-bellied sea snake on the coast of California?
Ashore? Yeah, yeah, those sea snakes are not supposed to be in that neck of the woods. And, yeah, they were showing up there. But so who knows what's going on? Hey, it's an ocean. They can cross over the boundaries, I guess, every now and then, can't they? Even though they're not, you know, endemic species or whatever. But who knows if this leafy sea dragon thing that they had pop up in Florida this week, if this is like another lionfish type of thing, or, you know, just a freak of nature where the currents changed or whatever. But who knows? It'd be kind of cool to see as a diver.
They're super tiny, right?
They are. They're very small from what I saw on the picture and in the report this week. But the seahorses in the Philippines, is that all you saw as far as your muck diving? Well, I thought they had all kinds of crazy-looking cuttlefish and batfish-looking things that would crawl along the bottom, and octopus and things like that. Did you see any of those type of deals or what there, Vinny? What do you think?
I did see an octopus, but yeah. A lot of times they point stuff out. And, you know, my eyesight, I don't have lenses in my mask, so my eyesight may not be tip-top, especially at night. So I kind of just did not see a lot of things that were pointing out to me. There's just no way I could.
Really? So if they said, hey, look, there's a manatee, and then later on you found out it was like, you know, Pete in a gray wetsuit, you would have just said, oh, yeah, I saw it.
I don't think I'm that bad. But
okay. I'm just saying. You need to get that fixed. Yeah.
Did you see any
lots
sharks?
Of manatee sightings.
Pete's not spooked by bubbles, though.
Oh, is that what it is? Maybe.
That's good. How you,
yeah, you get up close and personal. He might expel some of his own bubbles.
Hey, now!
A punami?
Hey, just stop it. I don't know. But so what you've said so far, other than a seahorse and stuff, I'm not really blown away by how you're describing it, Vinny. I mean, so did you think it was great or okay or what? You know, overall, as far as some of the stuff you saw there when you're diving in the Philippines, what do you think?
Oh, I think it's exactly what they say it is. It's for up close. It's for there's local reefs that you dive right offshore,
yeah.
And they're really beautiful. So it's mostly they're mostly smaller reefs. So
okay.
you got a chance to get in real close with your camera.
Okay, so that, macro photography paradise type thing. A lot of colors, right. A lot of various colors and things.
Oh yeah. The
reef.
It's
and
all
stuff.
There, but it's mostly for up close. There's really very few fish. It's mostly just a healthy reef right offshore.
Now, is that how it was across the board on all the islands you went to, the three different places?
No,
or?
No, that was just in front of the resort. That's just the resort diving where you come back, you go out on a small boat and then you dive and then you come back.
Now, did you go to this site in the Philippines where, you know, we were talking a few weeks ago with Charlene, who reported back after diving with thresher sharks? There's a place out there. Did you go to that area?
Nowhere near Malapuesca. I wasn't anywhere near there. I'm on a whole different island.
So
way
what
far
else?
Away from
so you did the muck diving at the one resort area. What else did you see? Did you go to some shark dive areas or what else?
Oh, yeah. Then I took a 10 days on the Atlantis Azores liveaboard right after that.
Yeah. And so, what'd you see? Tell me what you saw.
Well, it was a combination of a popular reef, Apple Reef, and a combination wreck divings of the wrecks of Coron in the Philippines.
So those wrecks are they fairly intact or broken up quite a bit or what? What are we talking about?
They're fairly intact, but they're big reefs now.
Yeah. All right. And so on those type of things, would you see bigger critters like some pelagic swimming through or?
Oh, yeah. You'd see a little bit. No sharks or anything, but you'd see reef fish and some bigger fish.
Okay. All right. Cool.
But it wasn't anything super big. Still.
Easy diving or was it high current type stuff or what?
It was easy diving. However, I didn't realize the water temp was pretty nippy. I was a little cold most of the time. I had a 3-mil shorty on with a long sleeve shorty on top of that.
Yeah.
And I was still a little cold.
So it
was a little nippy.
Okay.
It's not their prime time of the year.
I gotcha.
The water.
So it's their, just, they're a little bit of their off-season right now. Okay.
Yeah, it's their winter.
Got it. And so, did you bring home a wife or anything? Can you do that there? I don't know. Did they offer that?
I hope he didn't use the term nippy when he was there.
I think he used the term nipply.
That's better.
Okay. But I don't know. Is it like that? I mean, the people there are very nice, aren't they? And
cater to tourists. I've heard that there's 10-to-1 women there, and I think it's kind of true. Everywhere you go, you just see a lot of them.
Really?
Everywhere.
You see a lot of female folks there.
A lot of attractive females everywhere.
And they were divers?
It's amazing.
Well, a lot of female divers, too?
I don't know, but they looked awful good.
Interesting. Wait, you didn't ask them if they were divers?
No, I didn't.
I could say so much right now, but I better not, right? I got some new research about how...
I'm trying to break off all that one.
Yeah. I got some new diving research on sex and divers. I mean, you know, like the battle of the... Like how many divers, guys versus ladies. We'll talk about that next. And hopefully Richie Kohler is going to join us, too. Stay close. Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Do you have a compelling story of what inspired you to become a PADI diver or PADI professional? Has your PADI certification changed your life, relationship, or career in some unique way? The Professional Association of Diving Instructors wants to share your story to inspire others to start, keep, or teach diving. For more information, please visit PADI.com/my story. That's PADI.com/my story. And thanks for choosing PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
One of the great things about being on location when you're shooting Survivor is that when you have a day off, you have the ocean to go play in. A few seasons back, we had an afternoon off, so I decided to go scuba diving with Maria Sundin, one of our producers, and Mark Burnett, the executive producer of Survivor, The Apprentice, Rockstar. So, we get out there, everybody gets on the boat, there's a whole big group of us, we all get suited up, we get in the water, we're with our dive master, Pete, and we all start to go down.
You know, I didn't realize that Pete from Scuba Board took Mark Burnett, Jeff Probst, and all those guys from Survivor diving. Pete, you care to claim credit for that? Here's your chance. No?
I'm the ultimate cyber diver. I did it for my computer, dude.
Okay. Well, we'll take that for what it's worth and the truthfulness.
Pete needs to get me out then.
Yeah, he does. I mean, because we're trying to get Jerry the Diver Guy on Survivor. So you put in a word for him, okay, will you, Pete?
I will do that.
You know, make your magic. Now, if Pete can't do it, I know someone who possibly can, and that would be Richie Kohler, one of the original shadow divers. And I don't know, maybe he's part owner of the Kohler plumbing empire. I don't know if that's true or not. But Richie is on Scuba Radio right now via the phone. Richie, how are you, buddy? Long time.
I'm doing pretty good, and I got to tell you, I really do wish that I was part of the Kohler plumbing empire.
Don't we all, you know?
I think all I would be awarded is a family lineage would be the plumber's helper, you know, the little wooden stick with the rubber plunger
exactly.
on the end of it.
Well, the chances are probably pretty slim because he's talking to schlubs like us right now. So, but he is a, you know, he's a super diver in his own right. RichieKohler.com, by the way. You can go there and get all the info on his latest book, Last Olympian, Titanic's Tragic Sister Britannic. It's now available on Amazon. Is that right there, Richie, or what?
Yeah, and it's doing really fantastic. I got to tell you, Greg, that the reception to this book has been fantastic. A lot of the people that have read Shadow Divers, you know me, know the story. And in a way, this is Shadow Divers 20 years later.
Nice. Yeah, and that's a great book, by the way. If you're a diver, or you know what, you don't even need to be a diver to enjoy that story. So, and I'm one of those folks. I've been waiting to receive my copy, and you know I haven't gotten one. So I guess I got to wait till BTS, Beneath the Sea. You're going to be there signing copies. I can get one there, right, in a couple weeks?
Yes, I am. Not only am I going to be signing copies, I'll be doing presentations on the story behind the book about Britannic. I'll be doing film night. I'll be doing a short film about Britannic as well. So it's going to be a really exciting time at Beneath the Sea.
Yeah, now Britannic is Titanic's sister ship, and there's a big mystery or controversy or conspiracy about how it went down, too. Is that it?
I would say all of the above.
Yeah.
You know, most people know the story of Titanic, you know, mm-hmm. heroic ship that sank on a maiden voyage, but not many people knew that Titanic actually had two other sisters, and they were called the Olympians. There was the first one was Olympic, and then we all know that tragic tale of Titanic.
Yeah.
And then the last one, the last sister, was Britannic.
And that is what you've written about as far as going diving on this thing, because you did this back in the day, and it's history and all kinds of crazy stuff, I guess. Is that it, or what?
Well, no, there's a little bit more to it than
yeah,
that.
Well,
I mean,
I'm sure.
Where these beautiful ships were built to be opulent passenger liners, I mean, I'm positive half the people listening to the radio right now have seen the movie Titanic. They know what I'm talking about.
Sure.
These were the most opulent floating palaces, the Waldorf Astoria, if you will, with a propeller. Hmm. And all of a sudden, there was this tragedy that occurred on Titanic, kind of stopped everything for a while, and it slowed down the construction on Britannic. And Britannic never got to be the belle of the ball. She never got to be that opulent passenger liner because World War One came, and she was conscripted into service as a hospital ship.
Mm.
So gone were the dining rooms and the opulent lounges and the bars, and in a place where bunks where wounded soldiers could be treated and taken back from the front back to England. And while she was operating as a hospital ship on a beautiful sunny day, there was a mysterious explosion, and she sank three times faster than Titanic. I mean, imagine that. Titanic took 3 hours to go down. This thing went down in 55 minutes.
Hmm. Wow.
But, you know, there's always a silver lining in a dark cloud, and, you know, you got to be thankful that, unfortunately, she was not carrying wounded soldiers. She could have been holding as many as 3,000 wounded soldiers, but gracefully on that day, she was just filled with 1,000 people, doctors, nurses, and of course the crew of the ship. Only 30 people died in the accident, but when the ship went right down to the bottom so quickly in 400 feet of water, they didn't have the technology, they didn't have the wherewithal to go down there and answer these questions. Believe it or not, Greg, it would be 60 years later than none other than the father of all of us scuba divers, Jacques Cousteau, found the wreck. And he answered one or two of the questions, but like with every good mystery, you answer a question, Greg, you pop up a couple more.
Yeah, and that's what you address in the book, I guess, right? Or at least
exactly,
some of many things.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I know it's definitely a passion. You can hear it in Richie's voice, and I'm telling you, it will be a good book. I'm looking forward to reading it myself and getting a signed copy from you there, Beneath the Sea of Jersey. Okay.
You got it, buddy.
And I know you're getting some big award or something tonight, so congrats to you for that, okay, my friend?
I'm not getting a reward. I'm actually in New York City at the Waldorf Astoria. It is the annual dinner for the Explorers Club, and one of the flags, an Explorers Club flag that I brought down to Britannic, coincidentally was the same exact flag that was on board the Nore when Dr. Bob Ballard found Titanic. So this flag has a really unique history, and tonight here in New York City we're retiring that flag. We're taking it out of the mission of the Explorers, and it's going to go in the framed glass picture frame up on the wall here at the Explorers Club in New York City.
Sounds like an award to me regardless. All right, and that'll do it for this week. Till next time, remember, it's always better down where it's wetter. Safe diving, everybody.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know, what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.